He's done it. Four. Balotelli. Aguero.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Premier League Nightclub podcast. My name is Damon, and of course, with me, I have Woodra and Woody. I haven't said this for a while, but we are brought to you by Arrowsport, the number one kit maker in the business, arrowsport.com.au. Go check them out. How have you been?
Mate, I've been good. It's I think we'll hit the nail on the head first up here. Thanks to all the podcasts that have firstly gone on before us, so 9to5, Liz Cloggers and Dylan Friends. They've been brilliant undercards,
yep.
But clearly, like, the whole crowd has stuck around to stick around for the Premier League nightclub. If anything, we've actually gained supporters.
We should probably give a bit of context of where we are, though, for people who aren't here.
For sure.
Thousands of listeners that aren't here.
We are in Melbourne Central, recording live from MC Studio, so set up by Rach and Sarah. Shout out to those two absolute legends who teed this up. What an opportunity is, like, this is the first time we've ever recorded live in front of a live audience of, say, a few thousand people that are here at the moment. And, mate, this has been 6 weeks on the cards. I could not be more excited.
I think it's safe to say after what happened last year, it was going to take something special for us to record a podcast in June. And this has done it. This has done it.
Yeah. Well, I think we never really wanted to go into the Euros.
No.
But that's exactly what we're doing right now. So, Damo, quickly, how have you been? A few life-changing moments have happened to you in the last few weeks. Full-time job for the first time in, ever. First job in a few years as well. So how's that been?
Yeah, it's been all right, mate.
Yep.
Just managing my time, but, making sure the podcast doesn't suffer for it, hopefully.
Yeah. You also came top 2K in FPL. Change your life. I know you got a few sponsorship offers as well off the back of that. So
I'm pretty disappointed that you've mentioned this in the intro, though. I thought I was getting a whole segment.
We'll get into it a bit later.
Well, can I just talk about it now?
If you have to.
All right. So basically, when was the last time we did a podcast?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Okay. So let's just say there's like two weeks before the season finished, maybe three.
Yep.
And so I was sitting at 1,020th or something, desperate to get into the into the top 1,000 on the final day. And of course, any Premier League fan knows that all the games are played on the same time slot in the final day. And I brought in Patrick Bamford. We're a big fan of what Patrick Bamford's done this season. Brought him in for the final day. He started 37 games last season. Guess which game he got benched for?
Your last game.
The one I brought him in for.
Yeah,
and so like that little stuff, it keeps you up at night. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just wanted to get that off my chest. I've been waiting 6 weeks to tell the podcast that.
Well, Damo, I think we've had a bit of a funny road getting up to this Melbourne Central podcast because we've had an unreal season two, like more than we could ever really imagine. And I think it's well and truly exceeded our expectations on that front. But you messaged me yesterday that you had a bit of a story to tell. And I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen because you told me that you'd hit me with this live. And it was regarding one of the guests that we had lined up for this podcast, actually, the finale of season two, but it hasn't worked out. And it's one of a bald-headed friend. So would you care to give us a bit of context on that story and how that panned out in terms of an experience for you?
Yeah. Okay. So basically, I touched on at the start that I wouldn't let work affect the podcast.
Yep.
And so from day one, I set out to do that. And yesterday, sitting at my desk, me being good worker that I am, I went back from lunch early, sitting in the office by myself, and I'm sitting next to a glass window, just like I am now. And I see this guy, baseball cap, walking towards me. He was on the phone. People pace when they're on the phone. It's pretty normal. So I was like, all right, who is that? He looked familiar. Gets closer. The one and only George Kalambaras.
Big George, you see.
Was about 2 meters from me and he saw me staring, but he was on the phone and then I was like, oh, is it him? Then I heard his voice, 100% was him. And of course, we messaged him a couple of weeks ago, messaged his management team, didn't quite get the response we were looking for, but...
Got ghosted.
So then after that, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to take advantage of this. I had a meeting maybe 10, 15 minutes later and he was actually sitting in the offices next to us. There's a big wall in front, so you can't actually see each other, but when you walk out of the office, you can see. I walk past and the door's slightly open. He doesn't look like he's too busy. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll just say something. So I pop my head in and I'm like, I just froze for a split second. I was like, George, what's wrong with the victory this season? That's all I could think of. And he looks up and gives me a look.
Yeah.
I probably would have been better off to ask him to pay my wages. Like, that's sort of how it was.
Jeez.
He burnt me so bad. So then I was like, all right, well, I'll leave it at that. Walked to the meeting, came back about 10 minutes later. I'm like, all right, if he goes again, like if I see him again, I'll make up for it. Yeah, try to do better. And he sees me coming. He's wearing, you know, sitting in a desk chair. Looks up from his phone, sees me coming, and just turns around and goes back to his laptop. Like, after seeing me, 100% he was staring me in the eye. So it's safe to say we're never having George Kalamparis on the podcast.
Is that it?
Yeah, that is genuinely what happened. But
I thought you would have, like, actually had a conversation. Sorry,
he didn't want to have a conversation, mate.
I thought you made it seem like you had a confrontational conversation with him.
And you, well, what am I going to do? I can't go up to him and ask, you know, to come on the podcast. That's not an option for him.
The way you mapped this out to me, you made it seem like you had a genuine conversation with Big George Kalamparis and you genuinely told him off.
Well,
so what? You froze in front of him and that was it.
Well, I wouldn't classify going, that's putting trash, his mate. Head into his office. Oh, it doesn't matter though. He's a poor man's Matt Preston anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Another one of our guests, Damo, Errol Goulden got a new haircut during the week.
Oh, jeez.
He's gone for the bucket, the bowl cut with the mullet at the back.
It's not good.
It's a disaster and a half. If he walked into a room and tried to steal my miso, which clearly isn't happening at the moment, but I'd probably let him go. He's gone the bowl cut with the mud flap at the back, and that ain't it. But Damo, I sort of wanted to get in touch and just have a look at like where we've come for season two. Mm-hmm. Because when season one finished, we sort of thought that, you know, we'd burnt out a little bit and we probably couldn't go to another level above and beyond what we achieved in season one. And looking back on season two, we've had genuinely some of the best guests that anyone could ask for on a podcast.
Yep.
And I wanted to ask you, you know, what has been your favorite experience on season two? And I guess, like, who's been your favorite guest so far?
I mean, it has to be the Boz, but it has to be the Boz only because of the unpredictability of his answers.
Yep.
That was so funny. For example, if he was here today, the live studio audience, it couldn't happen because we'd be here till midnight and he'd be saying the most outrageous stuff. The editing procedure for that was a nightmare. So definitely the Boz. Definitely
it was a disaster.
How about yourself? You can answer the question.
Yeah, I reckon either having Errol on as a someone that's so...
You've got a bit of a man crush on Errol.
Oh, I do have a bit of a man crush. That's, I don't know if I bagged him, but I do have a bit of man crush on Errol because having someone that's so, I guess, almost become a cult figure at the Swans to be so in love with the round ball game as well is so rare because we don't get enough soccer coverage in Australia of the global game, I think.
You know I'm big on this, Woodrow. You know,
yeah,
I'm
I know. And you ask this all the time of anyone that we get on. When you celebrate, whether that be an AFL goal or a MasterChef result or something like that, celebrate with a goal celebration that you see in their Premier League.
Or at least a reference.
Yeah.
Some sort of reference.
A bit more coverage because a lot of people do the NBA stuff, like they do the ice in the veins or all that sort of trash.
Mm.
But you don't get any of the Premier League ones.
Actually, were you watching the footy last night, the Brisbane game?
No.
Well, Charlie Cameron kicked a goal to take a big mark. He didn't do it. He did the... He sort of went for the Bobby Firmino. He sort of went for it.
That's true.
Yeah. But no one knew what it. Yeah.
You saw it.
Yeah.
And cameraman knows what's up.
But the thing about it was, which was just, it ruined it. Richo at halftime, or maybe at the end of the game, got up because he knew about Dybala when Cornelio was doing it.
Yeah.
And Richo goes, oh, I'm pretty sure it's Cristiano Ronaldo. No, it's not Cristiano Ronaldo.
Guys, like, the lack of knowledge from the AFL commentators in the Ramble game is a genuine joke. Anyway, Damo, to answer your question, it's probably not Errol. It would have been Big Matty Prez, having Matt Preston on the pod. I think the fact that we DM'd him and he responded saying that he listens to the podcast and that's why he came on.
Yeah, he knew our names before we told him our names.
Yeah, it was almost more of a compliment than actually speaking to him. And I think in that sense, having him on the pod, like, it was unreal to hear some of the stuff that he's been able to do and some of the games that he's been able to see. Like, to see Maradona live, for example, at a World Cup. Like, you just can't beat those experiences. And I think for him, like, to come on and share that with us, for someone that has no, I guess, no association with the game, like, because he's so...
He's public he's so, figure. He's public
because
figure.
Because he's so synonymous with the food industry. Like, to him to share that side with us was pretty amazing, actually.
I wonder if he's enjoying the Euros. England haven't conceded, well, mate. It's coming home.
I didn't see any stories because when Chelsea won the Champions League. And, like, obviously he's a diehard Chelsea supporter, so it was a bit strange to see that. But maybe he keeps it to his private account.
Well, he's a pretty popular man.
Yeah,
he's, so can he's you a big imagine boy. The DMs he'd get as soon as he mentions soccer?
But he's hard to miss as well. So surely people would go up to him in public and say, "Hey, mate, what's happened with the Blues?" Stuff like that.
Yeah, but if he made it public as much as he could,
yeah,
you'd have that everywhere. More people asking about Chelsea than food.
Well, I think we've talked enough trash for an intro, but let's get stuck into a few things that we've missed in the last few weeks, Damo, because, again, next 6 weeks, no pod. We've missed a lot of action in terms of Prem, Champions League, some acquisitions, some managerial appointments, maybe.
And not so by Tottenham.
And not so as well. So Chelsea obviously beat Man City in the Champions League final. Huge. Unexpected.
Is that a good result for the neutral?
No, because Chelsea had a shit season, so I actually would have preferred City to sweep everyone, be recognised for a good season, rather than Chelsea walking away with silverware. The fact that they walked away with silverware from this season, with the season they had, is genuinely offensive to me.
Well, last time they won the Champions League, I'm pretty sure they came fifth in the league, so they've got a history of, you know, shithousing their way through a Champions League, you know, system. But I think from an Australian perspective, which is all about here at the nightclub.
Yeah.
You'd have to say the Chelsea result is worse because there's actually Chelsea fans down here. No one goes for Man City.
Yeah. I mean, here. We have a Leicester guy in the crowd. Yeah, Leicester ain't doing anything this season. So, mate, I'm glad you're here, but...
Is that a North Melbourne hat as well?
Yeah, he's a Nuffy.
Jesus Christ.
He's a Nuffy on every code. Who do you follow in the basketball?
Philadelphia.
Who? Was Oklahoma? That ain't it, mate.
Was that Philadelphia? I'm pretty sure he said Philadelphia.
Did you say Philadelphia?
Yeah, okay.
Jesus Christ. Ben Simmons diehard over here. We're bandwagon. Bandwagon.
Leave the kid alone. Move on.
Postecoglou to Celtic.
That's huge.
Huge.
We probably should have posted that a little bit more on the socials, given it the respect it deserved. Sorry, we're just going to get being interrupted here, but that's okay. The appointment hasn't been taken to lightly by the Celtic fans. Yeah. Have you read the social media comments?
Yeah, I have. He gets a serious amount of hate from the Celtic supporters, but I don't back that. I think because basically all the 22 million people that live in Australia are behind him, firstly. And I think it actually shows, we talked about representation before, but the amount of representation that Australia gets on an international stage is severely lacking. Obviously, Muscat got kicked out of a job a few months ago.
He might be going to...
Might be the assistant, but the fact that Ange is now managing a major European team, like, surely that builds the Australian game.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, have you seen the interview he did probably, like, I don't know, 10 years ago now? And he was talking to his players and he's like, "I want the news talking about us, not when an AFL player, like, farts in the street." Have you seen that?
Yeah. Honestly, whenever I think of Ange Postecoglou in an interview, I think of the one that we talk about all the time on Pro Clubs.
I can't feel... you'd always find a way to mention this.
And it's the Foz and what's his name?
The great Les Murray.
The great Les Murray interviewing Ange Postecoglou bagging him about the Ollie Roos Olympics or the Ollie
Roos. If anyone hasn't seen it, just look up Ange Postecoglou interview and it'll be the number one. Like,
the Jordanians and the Laos.
It's certainly a watch. It's certainly a watch.
But also our favourite team, the team that we probably butcher the most on the show, that's the Spurs. Mm-hmm. Mate, they're having a bloody nightmare with their managerial search as well. I think it's pretty funny. It was like six managers now snubbed?
Yeah, maybe seven. I know Gattuso, they haven't gone after him because the fans don't want him. So that was pretty funny. But
sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
100% Nuno Santo goes there. 100%.
And you reckon? Nuno?
I reckon he'll go. Where else would he go?
Doomed. He'll wind up at Wolves in three months anyway.
No, 100%. He goes to Spurs.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll put a bet on it. A bit of Damo's dollars, potentially put a multi on that one.
Put money on it not to happen and it'll happen.
But Damo, I think it's probably time that we maybe get into a bit of Euros chat, because obviously the Euros is happening and we haven't talked about it. We haven't done a pod for 6 weeks, so we cannot say that we have acknowledged the Euros at all.
We haven't. And the time slots haven't helped either. There's no more 11 PM games either, so it's 2 AM or 5 AM for the rest of the tournament, which is an absolute nightmare. How much have you watched, Woodra?
I reckon I watched the opening game.
Yeah, okay.
And then we all watched the opening game, and I reckon probably 6 matches since.
I think I've watched every England game.
Yeah.
Which is
what's coming home. You're wearing the England jersey. Can we just touch on the jerseys that we're wearing tonight, because this is the first time we've ever worn international jerseys on a show.
Yeah.
So take us through the jersey that you're wearing. Do you know the year?
Yeah, I believe it's 2012.
2012?
It's got Wayne Rooney on the back, so pretty sure it was 2012.
Yep.
Only reason I say that is because when I think of it, I can remember like Gerard, Lampard, all those guys wearing it. But what about yours, Woody?
I was waiting for you to ask me, actually. This is probably the earmark of the show. I'm actually wearing my 1994 Australia kit.
I think you invested more in that than you have in the pod.
Yeah, sent me back a pretty $300-something. But it is confirmed from the year 1994 as Australia wore this to the World Cup, actually, and where they got ousted by Diego Maradona and Argentina on that BS call. But I've invested in this. This is the first time I've worn it, so currently it's costing me $350 per wear, but hopefully I'll wear it a few more times. I'm actually a little bit scared to get it marked or anything, so I'm glad I've worn it here on this fancy plushy couch. So
do you want me to come in now, would you? Save you?
Yeah, can you hurry up?
Yeah, cool. All right, who's your tip for the Euros?
Before the group stage, I was actually Portugal.
Really?
Yeah, man. I was Portugal. But after the group stage, after seeing all the hype, the clout, I have to go for the Italy, 3 stripes.
That looked real good. Yeah, they haven't conceded in like 29 matches, something like that.
What a corner they have turned from not making World Cup to now probably dominating the Euros being favourite.
You know how every international tournament, the team that does well, so not necessarily wins it, but like your Colombias from 2014, and then James Rodriguez ends up at Real Madrid within a month.
Yeah.
Spinazzola, who ended up at Madrid.
Spinner.
I'd love him to come to the Prem, but I think he's 28 now.
Spin daddy.
100% he's coming, 100% he's going to go to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And I think the Italians, well, everyone knew they were going to get through the group.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone thought they'd do it as impressively as this. But did you see that Mancini brought on subbed the goalkeepers in the 89th
minute? Yeah, I saw
minute.
That actually. Strange. That's
said he was...
That pisses him off, the goalies. They're really protected species, actually. Nah, and you're a goalkeeper as well, so you know all about being...
Nah, but do you know why he did it?
Goalkeeping decisions.
You know why he did it?
What?
It was because in 1996, maybe earlier, I'm trying to think how old Mancini is, but when he went to a World Cup, I believe, with Italy, he didn't get brought off the bench once. He said, plays on his mind all the time. He never got a minute in a World Cup.
Mm.
And he knows that, I think it was Sirigu who came off the bench. He was never going to get a minute because Donnarumma is clearly the number one keeper. So when they knew they were going to win, they brought him on. Yeah. That's good.
That's not bad. But I think one of the things that really struck me was the fact that a Euro's on, and like the amount of people that are posting it on their social media is genuinely ridiculous. Like the amount of people that post, but then I've seen people post results, but still ask me, how does it work?
Are you talking about the third place?
Yeah. Structure? So I'm talking about the structure of the Euros, and it might be worth going through it quickly, because I see a couple of young boys in the front, and actually, gents, I know you're a little bit young, but like knowing this information could genuinely potentially get you laid. So there are 6 groups, each with 4 teams, and I probably shouldn't say that because my dad's actually sitting at the back. He's loving it.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Oh, Bobarello. Thumbs up, Bob. Love your work, mate. So 6 groups, each with 4 teams. The top 2 in each group, after the 3 group matches, automatically go through to the knockout phase. Then the 6 teams that are 3rd in their respective groups are ranked on a table by points, then goal difference, and then of these top 4, so of these 6 3rd place teams, the top 4 fill out the elimination games.
Do you like the system?
I think it's an interesting one, but I don't know about. Yeah, I don't know about it. It's a bit sus.
I don't think it affects necessarily. You know how we sometimes rest players at the end of the group stage. I don't think that makes it better or worse. It doesn't change too much in that sense. I liked how Denmark and Finland going into the final day, they only needed 3 points and they could have gone through. So that was pretty exciting. Mm. And obviously with group of deaths, can you imagine if Portugal didn't go through?
If you could build a group of death quickly, who would it be? Like the four teams that you would want in a group.
Yeah.
Like, and you have to have someone that's probably going to, like, favourite to get kicked out.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to just name the top four favourites of the Euros. Yeah. I'll make it a bit personal. I'd probably say England, number sure. And I'd chuck in Belgium. I think they're by far the most entertaining team at the moment. Just it's harsh on the Italians, but I think they've got a lot of Premier League touch in them, so that's good. Dutch, Memphis Depay, going to Barcelona. I think that would be. And then we'll chuck Greece in there for the easy beats.
Greece. Jeez. Theofanis Gekas. That's fine. The fact that you brought that up has actually really annoyed me because we went and watched the Greece game live. What?
2014. Yeah.
And Gekas missed that penalty. Mm-hmm. I'm still in tears. Anyway, so out of the... Jeez. You've rattled me here. That Greece game really pissed me off.
I'm going to take over.
I was... Yeah.
I can take over if you want.
I was ready to go for that one. Anyway, out of the six teams that finished third, Finland and Slovakia obviously got kicked out. Marek Hamšík, one of our favourites here, got kicked out. Mm-hmm. But Damo, there's been a few moments, I guess, in the Euros that we haven't seen before and have genuinely, like, probably taken our breath away.
Mm. Obviously, you don't want to talk about it for too long, but Christian Eriksen... That was pretty fucked. It was fucked.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he was receiving the ball was the worst bit.
So was a cardiac arrest he had on the field?
I think so.
Yeah. And
his heart stopped. So,
like, it shocked a lot of people, but I mean, you've had a cardiac arrest on a field before as well. And it was purely fitness based. Last weekend. Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty quick that it happened. You didn't have anyone looking after you, but shout out to, he actually wants to play again. So he wants to play in the tournament, which I don't think will happen.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I mean, you didn't manage to play. You sat out. I mean, like, what was it? 20 minutes into a 2-hour game. So you didn't play again either.
At 30% game time.
30% game time.
Minimum.
Yeah. The one that got me, Damo, was, I think it was in the Turkey-Italy game. The Turkey-Italy game. There was a mini Volkswagen car that took the ball out to the referee. Yeah. And I've never seen that before. And I reckon it's gonna happen a time where, you know, drones take balls out and stuff. But I thought it was one of the best things that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so interesting, like the fact that they've got a little Volkswagen car to take a ball out to the ref. I just thought it was elite.
I think the opposite of that is I can't remember which game it happened in, but it was one of the early group stage games. The cameraman, you got the referees coming out, players coming out, and the cameraman's following him out in front of them. And he walked straight into where the ball was and just completely tripped over the stand where the ball was. Shit went everywhere. I like seeing that just as much as the mini Volkswagen coming out.
Yeah, I just thought to myself, like, what in 5 years, what's going to take the ball out to the ref? Because we saw, like, the vacuum thing. You know the ping pong thing where, like, you put a ping pong on a vacuum. Ping pong stays up.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that for the ball.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah.
For the World Cup,
yes,
World Cup.
Yes, I do.
You were there, so you remember it. But...
Yeah, I guess it was, yeah.
Like, what's the next thing that's going to take the balls out? You reckon it's a drone?
This isn't really a good answer, but I've always thought that one day there will be a case where the grass opens up on a sports field. And so I think you could use that with the ball coming out of the ground.
That already happens. Like, they have stuff under the pitches and stuff.
They do, but the grass doesn't split open on every stadium. And even if it does, they don't do it in the middle of a game or on match day at all. I'm just saying. If you don't like my answer, mate, give me an alternative.
A bit technical. Like, I think it's a bit too far advanced for you. Like, maybe stick to your primitive thinking on that one.
Do you have an answer?
No, I said drone. Like, that's my answer. I wanted a drone. Maybe a dragon? I don't know.
It's pretty basic.
Dragon? Dragon. Schick's goal from halfway. I think we were both watching that live and we messaged each other during the game.
Yeah.
That was hectic. Like, on an international stage, for that to happen.
It was funny because it happened against Scotland as well, of all teams.
Oh, what a joke, man. Scotland, seriously. Like, how the hell have they been kicked out? One of my disappointments, we're going to get into disappointments, but then the other goal that I sort of loved was Modric's goal as well. That was a belter. Like, genuine worldie.
I'd classify that as goal of the tournament, which I know is an unpopular opinion because there's been some crackers, but it looked saucy.
It was so good.
Yeah. It was so good.
It reminded me of me, actually, in Futsal on Friday nights, which obviously we aren't playing because we're recording a pod. But Damo, Ronaldo moving the Cokes off the bench and wiping 5.2 billion US off their market cap.
I quite enjoyed the aftermath of that. All the players like copying him. I can't remember. Someone moved water out of the way and put the beer back. Pogba moved the beer.
Yeah.
So there was a few of them.
Yeah, no, see, I don't know. I don't know what the go is with Pogba, actually. Like, he seems more larrikin than ever. I don't know if it's just me.
Yeah, but you know he doesn't drink, right?
Yeah, because for religious reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe you should take that up. You've been drinking a little bit too much recently. But Damo,
thanks for the personal attacks.
Some of the surprises of the tournament, Italy. So you managed Spinazzola, but have they been your surprise packet of the tourney?
Yeah, as I said, just on how well they've played. But I think I've been a massive fan of the wing backs, just generally speaking, at the Euros. So I touched on Spinazzola, as you said, but Dumfries as well. You know, Dumfries, before he got subbed at halftime in the most recent Dutch game, he had more touches in the box than Mbappe.
Really?
Yeah. I found that pretty insane.
Oh, no, I saw that stat, Optusport. Yeah. They love the coverage.
Yeah. I get most of my stuff from Optusport, unfortunately. Yeah.
Michelle Escobar is killing it. One of our guests. She's actually been probably Optus's face for the Euros pretty much.
Yeah, well, she's always been on top of that sort of stuff. And the Euros requires insane amount of, say, 3-4 minute summaries, and she's the best in the business at that. Yeah. So.
For me, surprise packet was actually Raheem Sterling. And the reason why I say that is because England, like, have been so
shit.
Bad.
Like, they've been shit.
Like, they finished top of their group, but oh my God, like, I know I probably shouldn't swear, but holy shit, they have been so shit. Like, it is ridiculous. He scored their only two goals of the tournament. They've scored two goals the whole tournament, both by Raheem, and they finished top of their group.
Riddle me that. It's because they didn't concede, mate.
Riddle me that.
Did you see Mark Milligan's prediction for the Euros?
No, Milligan's.
He had Turkey to win and Raheem Sterling to win the Golden Boot.
Mate, can I say Mark Milligan is one of the most washed up players I've ever heard in my life.
I didn't even know he went to England.
Turns his back on his boyhood club three times to go play in Saudi Arabia and China.
Yeah, it's not good.
Disaster.
Oh, he's had a good career though, mate.
Let him cash in. He's a joke.
Who are the disappointments of the Euros?
Probably Sancho has not played a fucking minute.
Yeah, does that lower his price?
Oh, look, you'd probably say so. I mean, as two United supporters here, you'd hope so. Like, you'd really hope so. But I think, I don't know. It's just been poor. Like, same with Rashford as well. Just hasn't really got the minutes. Like, Foden and Sterling preferred over those two. So, I don't know. It's
Harry Kane's been shit as well.
He has been shit. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him as well. Does that drop his price for Man City? Like, the fact that he's been so crap? And that Foden's been so good, actually.
Yeah, well, I think there has to be some sort of leeway, but whether it be what player they give up, because there's been a bit of talk about a cash and player transfer from Man City, and they've obviously got the players to be expendable in that area. So, I don't know. I don't think it takes away too much. I mean, at the end of the day, it's three games, and the guy somehow didn't win player of the season last year. So, I think he's still very, very expensive.
I think another one of the disappointments was Turkey in the tournament. And
Coinciding
with that was probably Errol's haircut. Because we actually messaged Errol
Gooden. For reference, he is Turkish and you're Turkish.
Yeah, so Errol Gooden is Turkish and we actually messaged him earlier this week actually asking for what he would like to hear on the podcast. And he said two things, Liverpool and Turkey. And we haven't got into Liverpool yet, but
probably not going to happen.
We'll talk about Turkey quickly. They finished last in their group and that's all we're going to say. So Errol, thank you very much, mate. Your input was not used, but... Yeah, he's getting around this week, so good on that bloke. Damo, quickly, predictions. Who was your prediction again?
Someone asked me before we started, but I think Belgium. I like Belgium. I think they've got
Dill asked us.
That's right. Yeah, Dill asked. I think Belgium, but I think if you look at the run, the winner of Germany and England this Tuesday, dead set certainty to probably play the Netherlands in the semi-final.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Nah, fair.
Germany, though. England, or Netherlands will make the final.
Golden boot.
Lukaku.
What?
Yeah, only because Belgium will go far in the tournament.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
What about you?
I was probably going to go for Depay. Like, I'm a big Depay fan.
Well, Dutch have got the run for it. So
yeah, exactly. I'm going to throw you a couple of, I guess, one word, like, yeah, single words at you. And I want a quick one word response from you as well. Just a summary, like, whatever it may be. All right.
Okay.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Goat.
Okay. Turkey.
Shit. What do you want from me? Go on.
Memphis Depay.
Rapper.
Scotland.
They were a hype up merchant in that tournament. Their crowds were elite.
Lewandowski.
Can't play shit for Poland.
Greece.
Growing.
No. They've been so bad. And we play FIFA building. Every year, so we actually know how bad they are.
They're building, don't worry. Mate,
I'm pretty sure they still can't play in their home. They don't have a home stadium in Greece. So they still play somewhere. They don't play in Greece. They don't play their home games in Greece.
Do they pay the national team?
Oh, I don't know. National team probably pay to play. But Damo, you wanted to get stuck into crowds.
Yeah, no. See, I tried to segue it about 30 seconds ago, but you cut me off. So yep. The crowds, I've loved it back.
Mm.
But I think the most interesting thing about it has been the excuses that have come with it. So obviously this works both ways. So you've got Hungary pulling off that draw against France, 1-1. Absolute scenes. And it was a 67,000 crowd in Budapest. And obviously, because we're down here in Australia, you sort of, I wouldn't say it's normal for us because we have had our fair share of lockdowns across the country, but you'd still have to say we've had crowds for most of the time during COVID, whether it be in Queensland or whatnot. So to look at European football again with the packed house was awesome. And then you hear Griezmann after the game from France, obviously disappointing 1-1. And he goes, you know, in his French accent, in French, so I'm not going to say it, but it was pretty much
can
just...
you put on a French accent?
No.
Please?
So you please. Basically what Griezmann said was Buongiorno. That it was hard to hear each other and it was hard to remember tactical instructions with the crowd. And then so I was like, oh, you know, I wonder if players actually don't love the fans being back. And apparently there's a small bunch of players who anonymously are speaking to journos and saying, yeah, it's really bad for mental health, fans being back, because we can't handle being abused from the stands anymore. So, like, they enjoyed not getting hurled abuse at
for a year. Probably fair, though.
And obviously there's a line, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, do you reckon it's a bit soft?
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, to be honest, I've gone to the footy with my dad a fair whack, and, like, he's pretty prone to throwing a few abusive lines around. And I can't say that I'm opposed to it. As long as it doesn't go over the line.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. But I'm just talking generally. Like, if someone makes a shit pass,
you call them out.
You're getting paid enough to get abused.
Yeah, 100%, mate. You're getting paid, like, what, 300K a week?
Deal with it.
Make the fucking pass.
Don't take it personally.
Pretty easy, mate.
Just get it right the next time.
It's pretty easy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Come play with us in futsal and you'll see how it goes.
If you like crowds being back, would you?
Yeah, I do. And I think obviously adds to the atmosphere. So I think the fact that like there is an atmosphere, you know, means that it's worth it. When we watch games, we want to hear the crowd get involved. We want to hear, you know, the commentators be put up in volume because the crowd are way too loud. That's what we want to hear. We want the chants in the background. We want to hear everything going on.
We're shit vibrating.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff, yeah. We want to feel the stadium vibrating through the microphone. So I think, or through the speakers. So I think in that sense, like I 100% want crowds back. And I don't care if the abuse goes. Zone out on the field. Zone out. Can you actually just zone out? So
I think it's dangerous to say that as well, because then you give the fans, it's dangerous for the player to come out and say, I don't like being abused, because then suddenly the fan who thinks they're not being heard.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm going to go harder now.
You're going hard.
Yeah.
Damo.
Yeah.
I think it's probably time for one of our favourite segments.
Yeah, it's a bit hit and miss, to be honest, but I love it.
Yeah. So we'll get into a little bit of drunk talk.
Mm-hmm. That's just drunk talk. Sweet, beautiful drunk talk.
I'll let you go first because mine's actually a bit of a loaded gun here. So I'll let you go first and
I'm worried about you.
I'm going to do something.
I really am worried.
Yeah, go for it, mate. Go for it.
All right. So obviously we're a big fan of Jesse Lingard on this show. For those who are watching right now, I've got my J-Links hoodie on. And obviously didn't make the England squad. So nice to see you listening to me, mate. But
I'm doing something very important here.
So Jesse Lingard went to some random pub in London, wore an England kit, a Declan Rice kit, and sat amongst the locals and watched the England game when they won 1-0 against Croatia. Anyway, so he posted all over his Instagram. He was DJing, playing, you know, Sweet Caroline, It's Coming Home. It looked elite. And then he posted on Instagram a photo of him with like a parrot on his shoulder. And apparently there was this guy who in the pub just had a parrot and, yep. and a bunch of other birds or whatever. And he was just letting them fly on people's shoulders and all around elite atmosphere.
Mm.
And so we touched on crowds just before and it got me thinking, if you could be in Europe right now, obviously the Euros is segregated everywhere across Europe at the moment in terms of where the games are being played, which city would you go to if you could pick, and which Premier League player they can be playing at the Euros? I'm not going to make you only pick from people who didn't get selected, but yeah, who would you pick to go to the pub with and what city?
Look, I think I went to Netherlands. I've been to Netherlands before. So I think Netherlands is probably the country that I'd go to, 100%.
I like it.
In terms of the Premier League player, I've heard that Patrick Van Aanholt goes pretty hard.
Yeah, okay.
I've heard that he goes hard. Dutch players, probably, I don't know. There's a few Dutch players that have played in the Prem, but 100% I'd go to Netherlands because I know how much they support and they don't get enough love.
And they're going to go deep in the tournament as well.
They're going to go so deep.
Yeah,
so deep. So I think for me, probably a Dutch player, and I'd be in Netherlands somewhere.
Yeah, fair.
Yourself?
In all honesty, I'd probably say Denmark.
Really?
Yeah, only because
countries are intense.
If I could be there tonight, I would, because they got a game against Wales, which is a genuine 50-50.
Mm.
They had 0 points on the board going into the final game of the group. It's a miracle they're even there. And obviously they've got the emotional drive now. So why not? It's elite. Expensive though.
All right. So I'm going to cut you off here. I'm going to go straight into my one.
All right, here we go.
So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to get everyone in the crowd here. Can you get out your phones, please?
I knew this was going
to
be bad.
Can you please get out your phones and head to Premier League Nightclub on Instagram, and this is going to be, mate, I'm looking straight at you. You're on your phone. Head on Instagram. Get on Premier League Nightclub right now and have a look at our story. I've just put up a story, and this is for reference. This is me. This is reference for my story right now. So I was on Facebook during the week, right? I see you laughing, you dirty dog, you. I was on Facebook during the week, and this might be a bit more of a rant. However, I came across this, Damon, we were watching this game live, where Andre Mariner gave a red card to Kieran Gibbs for a handball when it's supposed to be for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. And
iconic
Kieran,
moment.
Yeah, Kieran Gibbs obviously got sent off. Arsenal lost 6-0 that day. Arsenal supporter lost 6-0, loves it. Well, they do look pretty similar, I guess. I think as a professional ref, I understand this grew up, but that's pretty monumental, right?
Mm.
Anyway, it reminded me of a story when we were 18 and...
Yeah.
that's an 18-year-old moment. But when we were 18 and we were at a party, yeah? And it was actually...
Oh, I know what you're going to mention. I can't believe you mentioned this on the pod.
Anyway, this girl's party, I actually huge crush on her. I had a crush on her for like 6 years. Anyway, the person whose birthday comes up and this girl I have a crush on comes up to me and goes, "Hi, wrong name." And she's known me for a solid 5 years as well. "Hi, wrong name. Thanks for coming." I had no idea what to say, especially since, you know, I was probably way too in love with this girl in order to pull my senses together. However, if you head to our story, the picture on the story is what I looked like at the 18th birthday party, right? It was an absolute disaster. Anyway, that photo is taken from the party And to say that a picture paints 1,000 words is probably a little bit of an understatement there. Like, I understand she got mixed up with a different person, but, like, you could almost argue that I was pretty easy to get mixed up with a potato. So
what's your question, mate?
Anyway, to cut a long story short, I think, what's your football look alike and which footballer would be offended if they got addressed as you?
Hang on, can I just say, I'm looking at the photo now.
Yeah.
I reckon I'm getting Charlie Adam vibes.
Mate, the Leicester kid in the crowd loves it. I don't love this.
Yeah, no.
Charlie Adam, are you serious? I'm 18, I look like a 35-year-old.
No, I was going to say, look like what Charlie Adam would have looked like when he was 3.
Jesus Christ. Hurry up, mate.
All right, so
you'll look like, who would be genuinely offended if someone went up to them in a pub and was like, "Hey, Damon," but it's not their name.
What, out of the Premier League?
Out of the Premier League, yeah.
I don't know. Well, funny enough, I used to think back when I was 16 that I looked a little bit like Daley Blind when I had longer hair, but what? Upon reflection, I didn't at all.
What?
So I guess you could say that if you're going to let me have that. I was looking this up recently, just a bunch of players, and it was for the podcast, trying to do a graphic to find who he'd look like, actually. It was a couple of months ago. And I kept getting, John McGinn came up.
Okay.
And
did
I thought.
Did you do one of those like face match things?
No, I don't think they do have them for the Premier League.
Okay, sure.
So I thought John McGinn maybe, but I was sort of getting attracted to his stockiness. He's robust, but I wouldn't call him. Lateral movements aren't his forte.
Probably up your alley as well. You're not too fast.
Yeah.
Not too agile. Not too anything really.
Just there.
Yeah, you're there.
So
you feel the spot. You feel the spot.
Yeah, this kid's losing it every time.
He loves it.
I'll go Daley Blind. Only because I think there's something a little bit there. Okay. And then so he'd be offended because he's a good looking dude.
Fair enough.
What about you, Charlie Adam?
Adama Traore. That's the one I'm going to go with. for anyone that went and had a look on our social media for the picture of the potato, okay, me, feel free to give us a follow as well. Give us a plug. Turn on notifications for our posts as well. You'll see the best of the best maybe once every 6 weeks. So, yeah, that's pretty much wraps up the Drunk Talk demo. Probably, I don't know, was that how would you rate that in terms of 1 to 10? Of our best?
Well, I'll say we've done, 7 of these? It was probably 5th best.
Oh, no, I'll go 1th. Definitely the best. 100%.
Fair enough.
Alrighty, let's get stuck into a few transfers, Damo, because everyone wants to hear a little bit about transfers, and I think that the fact that the Euros are on probably quietens down the news compared to what it would be usually, around this time.
Yeah, well, we put a post out asking what people wanted to hear on this show. The most popular response was transfers.
Followed by Euros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do people understand that we don't actually have connections to what's happening? We're just reading the same articles as them.
No, we do. But there's not a lot going on. Mark knows everything about Aston Villa. And, you know, we're sort of in his pants.
Speaking of the villains.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Buendia is back in the Prem and it's not with Norwich. He's OG nightclub cult hero. Loved Buendia. Yeah. You know who loved Buendia?
Who?
Sammy Cook, mate.
So for anyone that is the first time listening to the podcast, we're a 2 right now, but all of season 1, we were a 3 with a guy called Sam. And to say he was
all
shit
of season 1
was
a bit
an
generous.
Absolute understatement. Like he would rock up to a podcast. Put it this way. He went through all of season 1, not watching a single Premier League game. Anyway, do you know Ashley Young went back to Villa?
I did know that. Noticed that. Because Nat Edwards, the lovely Nat Edwards from AFL.com, tweeted about it.
Mm.
Another person that I've messaged who hasn't gotten back to me about coming on the pod. But yeah, no. Ashley Young, how old is he now? 30?
I reckon he'd be 33.
Yeah.
33. And so he's obviously just won the Serie A at Inter, massive season. He's heading back to Villa as well. But Emi Buendia, like we just said, back to Villa as well. The other team that's had a huge offseason so far is Norwich. Massive. And I'm huge on the Norwich. Obviously, they lost Emmy, but they signed Milo Raška. And anyone that's played FIFA careers or FIFA managerial mode will know that Milo Raška is a genuine beast.
I'm taking your word for it.
Take my word for it. Sure thing. And potentials as well. So obviously, Euros are going through. So none of the transfers are probably going to go through for any of the players that are playing Euros.
Yep.
So there's a fair few, Damo, and we'll get your view on it as well.
We'll go quick fire, I reckon.
Quick fire. Harry Kane to City?
Yeah, likely.
Sancho to United?
Likely.
Yep. Jack Grealish to...
No, he's not going to leave. Villa are already spending the money, which we just spoke about. So I don't know where those funds are exactly coming from. But at the same time, there hasn't been a lot of talk about Jack Grealish going anywhere. I mean, City's been flirted, but City get flirted with everybody. So I don't know. I just don't think it goes... Yeah, I don't think he goes, especially...
Your man, yeah. Erling Haaland?
I think he'll stay.
Stay?
At Dortmund.
I know the Dortmund sporting director came out and said that he will stay.
I think he will. For a player like that, there has to be so much more hype for him to leave. Like, just doesn't come overnight.
Yeah.
Unless it's Chelsea, which he's being linked to.
I think the fact that Harry Kane's valued at 180 mil probably indicates that it's going to take a lot more to get him out of Dortmund anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Isak, big Riley Bev asked us to talk about this guy.
Yeah, did you see when he got interviewed that like Gary Lineker, obviously English legend, was like hugely praising him on the post match show, and Isak had no idea who he was.
No, is it Gary who? Gary who? Anyway, been linked to Madrid, Liverpool, and Arsenal. Probably gonna go to probably Liverpool if anything.
I feel like,
based on
what I just said earlier about Spinazzola, he'd probably end up at Madrid. Just because it happens every... They always pick the standout from every international tournament. Every time. I'm telling you.
Dumfries?
I saw him get linked with Everton. Sounded... He's too good for Everton, surely.
Yeah. And then Billy Gilmore had a bit of an interesting Euros as well.
He'll go out on loan.
You reckon?
Yeah, I would have thought he'd go out.
It's tipped to go to Norwich, which could sort of fill Emi Buendia's role. But I guess the fact that Billy Gilmore hasn't really got any Euros minutes probably indicates that he will go out on loan.
Yeah, well, he started against England, I think, and then that was it. Obviously, he got COVID. So he definitely goes out on loan. There's no way he gets into that Chelsea lineup, not at all.
Yeah.
Sorry, does that wrap up the show, Woodrow?
Mate, I reckon that wraps it up. We've probably reached our time limit as well. Don't want to piss off anyone here at Melbourne Central. Damo, quickly, this is our last episode of season two. So have we got anything that like we want to hit on the nail on the head or hit any topic before we sign off for season two?
Well, keep an eye on the socials, obviously, and we'll try to be back maybe a week or two before the season starts.
Yeah.
I think
we're missing a big announcement here. Season three is actually going to be entirely on YouTube as well. So we're going to go.
Is it?
Yeah, well, it bloody well is now, mate. I'm telling you, after the podcast that we've just seen, clearly we need to up our ante with the video game.
Yeah, fair enough.
All we've got the big dog here as well, taking pictures of us. He loves it. Thank you very much. But yeah, we're gonna try our best to get everything on YouTube and record some visuals as well. Yeah. So might be a little bit of investment as well. And you said to me before this pod that, hello.
He loves it. He absolutely loves it.
sounds illegal, but you know. we'll cap this one off with that, Damo. Season two, thank you very much for coming. We've had some amazing guests, Damo, but I reckon the best guest that we've had is probably you.
She's on fire tonight, mate.
It's probably you.
Thanks, Woody. It's about time you gave me some praise.
No, genuinely, I couldn't imagine doing this podcast with anyone better. And the fact that we've done season one and now we're finishing off season two together.
I think it's episode 78 or something. So
yeah, something like that. Yeah. But it's been a good ride and I'm keen for a break and keen for season three.
Should be good. We'll be right back around the start of August. Woody, if they want to hit us up on the socials, where can they find us?
You can find us on Insta at Premier League Nightclub, and you can find us on TikTok actually at Premier League Nightclub. And Damon, where can you find us on everything else?
Find us on Twitter at PL Nightclub. We only need a few more followers to start Twitter Spaces, and I love my Twitter Spaces, so please do it. I think we're about 15, 20 short, so get on board that. And yeah, pretty much make sure to subscribe on Spotify and YouTube, all that sort of stuff, and you'll know when we're posting.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you to the thousands of people that rocked up here. Catch you all in season three. Hope you have a good night. And
sorry to the people who couldn't get a seat.
Yep. And we'll share you all a few beers, a few thousand of you. Cheers, guys.
See ya.